Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
Welcome to church. Welcome to God's house, God's home. And like I say, if you're a first timer here, you don't have a home, a church home to belong to, we love you to be gone. To belong to us, to our family. So, I don't know about you, but, you know, I haven't had my turkey yet, but I'm sure looking forward to my Thanksgiving turkey, getting around with family and friends. Isn't life good with God? God is so good, right? There's so many things to be thankful for, don't we? Yeah, so we're going to go right into our message here so you can get to your Thanksgiving turkey. And we're just continuing. We'll go for another week or so on our Gear Up series. It's all about getting back into things and shifting to new levels and expecting great things from God. Don't ever underestimate what God can do through you. Amen? Don't ever underestimate that, what God can do just through you. Amen, through me. So let's pray and let's ask God's blessing on this word. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we are so thankful for all the good things that you give us. Father, we're thankful that we live in such a peaceful place compared to all that's happening in the world around us. Father, we thank you for the peace and the presence of Jesus. Not just outer peace, but inner peace. Peace to our soul, peace to our spirit. That no matter what's happening around us, no matter what turmoil or struggle, that you're in control and that you protect us. Thank you for your incredible peace. Thank you for your provision for us every single day, that you meet every single need. Thank you for giving us a purpose and a reason to live for. Thank you for the people that you surround us with, that care for us. And through them, Lord, our needs are met through you, through them. Father, we thank you for the power to live this life that reflects and radiates this incredible love of God that you've given us, that we could radiate it back to you and back to people around us. So thank you for your presence here, Lord. Thank you for your love, Lord, your incredible love, which we're going to talk about today. Lord, help us to take this message. Let it translate from our heads right deep into our hearts so that we live out this word for the glory of God and for our blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. That was a long prayer, but it was a good prayer, wasn't it? Okay. It's 10:54. I got lots of time to preach, but I'm not going to preach a long time. But I want to talk to you about love. You know, I started last week. I talked about going to another level in your love and understanding what love is all about. And if you haven't heard that message, go back to the website or go to the City Light app and you'll see that message. And about going to another level. And today I want to take that step, that theme of love under that umbrella of Gear Up. And I just want to go a little bit deeper when we talk about love, about real love. And so here's the our text for today. It's found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22 and verse 34. And Matthew says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And then in verse 40 he says, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Now, when that expert in the law challenged Jesus with the question, which is the greatest of all the commandments, he was probably referring to which of the original commandments, and those original commandments are called the Ten Commandments. And it started from there. They started with 10 major commandments, and they kept making more commandments until they had 613 commandments that they had to obey and they had to follow. So, When we look at the Ten Commandments, it's found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 to 17. You know, these commandments are really meant to bring and protect us and bring life to us. So, even though we're in the Old Testament, you know what? God still expects us to live these commandments out. Is that right? I think he still does. But there's another reason why we obey those commandments, and I'm going to get to that. So let's look at those Ten Commandments. Now, first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. In other words, I should love God more than anything else or anyone else. Is that right? Number two, you shall not make any graven images. That means you don't bow down to and worship any statue of any person or anything. Number three, you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. I don't misuse the Lord's name for my purposes. You know, sometimes I see Christians and they're kind of going off track and they're doing things that, you know, I know they're not, it's not according to God's word, God's plan. And you ask them, so why are you doing that? And they say, well, because God told me to. So wait a minute. That's using God's name in vain. Right? You shall not use God's name in vain. And number four, remember to keep the Sabbath day holy. I go to church. I keep the Sabbath because it aligns me to love the Lord my God. Right? Now, out of the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments are all about loving God. And the second six commandments are all about loving others. You shall love God, and God wants you to love others. Right? And it's about, or your neighbors. Number five, honor your father and mother. And that's a command with a promise. And the promise is so that I can live a long, full life. Number six, sixth commandment, you shall not commit murder. Some people murder with a gun. Some other people murder with their mouth through gossip and slander, ruining someone's reputation. Number seven, you shall not commit adultery. Number eight, you shall not steal. Number nine, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And number 10, you shall not covet anything your neighbor has. Your neighbor's house, car, motorhome, wife, whatever belongs to your neighbor, right? So when Jesus was asked this question, out of the law of Moses, which one is the most important? He replies, all the law, all the prophets, all of the New Testament or the Old Testament hangs on, is suspended upon, depends upon, is based upon, and is summed up to these two very powerful precepts. Number one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And the second precept, love your neighbor as yourself. It all hangs on love. Amen? It all hangs on love. All hangs on love. On your PowerPoint. Now, if you love God, let's go to that next point. If you love God and you love others, you will live obeying God's laws, but not out of rule or law or religion, which says you have to just do it because you have to, but out of love. Out of love. You know, here's a good question. If I love Jesus, why would I want to sin? Why would I want to use the Lord's name in vain? Why would I want to commit murder? Why would I want to gossip or slander? Why would I want to commit adultery? Why would I want to do any of those things? Here's the next point. Trying to keep the law, just to keep the law, is impossible. It's impossible. They start out with 10 commandments, and they made 603 more commandments. And they have to obey every single one. Is that possible? No. It's impossible for anyone on earth except for Jesus. We just can't do it, right? It's impossible to try to keep the law just to keep the law. And yet, religion says you've got to keep every single one of them, right? Trying to keep the law just to keep the law is impossible. But when you're in love with Jesus, when you're in love with Jesus, your very love for Him becomes more powerful than your desire to sin. Is that right? The more I love Jesus, the less I want to do things that take me away from Him. Because I want to keep my love growing. I want to keep my love flowing through me to other people, right? Keeping love is so important, because if you keep love, if you keep your love, you keep everything. If you keep your love for God, you keep everything. If you keep your love for your wife, you keep everything. You keep your family, you keep your kids, and you keep your finances. Don't you? If you keep your love for His church, you keep everything. You keep your very life together. You know, and what you love, you protect, don't you? You protect. What I love, I protect. You know, I protect my wife. I protect my kids. I protect my family. I protect my church. When people start to say stuff about, I protect people within my church. When I hear stuff about people in my church, I protect. And I rise up to protect them, you know? But the greatest protection, the greatest thing I need to protect, is I need to protect my relationship with God. Because when you protect that relationship, you protect all your other things in life that you're precious, that are precious to you and you love. Amen? It's so important. See, it's love. It all hangs on love, doesn't it? 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. What's John trying to say? I think he's trying to say this. We can only love to the extent that we understand God's love personally for us. Is that right? That's what he's saying here. And I love the words of Mother Teresa. Well, look at those words that we looked at last week. Mother Teresa said, when you know how much God is in love with you, then you can only live your life radiating that love. Isn't that true? It's when you understand what God's love is, when you know that God loves you, then you can love. Right? It's a powerful truth. So the question is, what do we need to know about this love for us that would cause us to radiate that love back to God and to other people? What do we need to understand? I want to give you some things, six key things that we need to understand about the nature of God and who He is and what His love is all about. Just take a few minutes. I'm going to go through them pretty quickly here. Today I'm going to talk about and remind you about God's incredible, vast, amazing love that He has for you. What is real love? First thing is, it's unconditional. Real love, God's love, is unconditional love. And really, if you read the whole Bible, really the whole Bible is a picture and a story of God's love for people, for you and I, right? And one of the most powerful stories that I believe depicts and illustrates unconditional love is found in the book of Hosea. And that's when God speaks to Hosea the prophet and He says, Hosea, go and marry Gomer. Now Gomer is a harlot, she's a whore. And He says, go and marry her. So Hosea marries Gomer, and they have two children. And one of the kids is called Not Loved. And the other kid is called Not My People. You know, and Gomer just keeps cheating and cheating on Hosea to the point he says, I'm just fed up with this unfaithful wife. I just want to get rid of her. But God speaks to Hosea. And He says in Hosea chapter 3 verse 1, then the Lord said to me, go and love your wife again. even though she commits adultery with another lover. This will illustrate that the Lord still loves Israel, even though the people have turned to other gods and love to worship Him. Or to worship them. You know, you've sinned. You've turned away from God. You know, you've walked away from God. And guess what? He still loves you. And He takes you back. That's unconditional love. Amen? You know, and this is a picture of unconditional love. And God restores the whole family back again. He takes His unfaithful spouse back. And God restores the family. And God restores the two kids. And the one that was called not loved is now loved. And the one that was called not my people is now my people. Unconditional love. Doesn't matter what you've done, where you've came up, how badly you think you've sinned, God takes you back again. Amen? Amen. And we don't have to go into hiding. We don't have to run away from the church and not show up. We don't have to, you know, we need to come back into that place of love. Right? Love for God. And God loves through His people. Right? It's a powerful picture of the way God thinks of us. Romans 5 verse 8. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us. When? When we were good? When we were perfect? When we were loving and serving Him? No, when we were still sinners. When we were antagonistic towards God. We were atheistic. And we were, you know, we were whatever, but we were walking away from God. God loved us and He sent us His Son Jesus. Right? Unconditional love. Number two, unfailing love. Real love is unfailing love. Psalm 36 verse 5, Your unfailing love, O Lord, is vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness, which is beyond the clouds. What does that mean, unfailing? It means His love is constant. It's constant, never stops. It's not just when you're good that He loves you, right? Even when you're the worst of your worst, and your attitude, and you've gotten into a big fight with your wife, and you said some things, He still loves you, right? His love is constant. It's unfailing. His love is inexhaustible. He never falls out of interest with you. He never tires of you. He never gets tired of you. So just, you know, quit praying that same prayer. You know, quit acting that way. He never gets tired of you, right? His love is sure. He loves you. He's set on you. And guess what? He's not changing His mind about you, right? Unfailing love. Constant, inexhaustible, sure. His love is infinite love. Infinite love. That's that sign, that infinity symbol. You know, it's never ending. God's love never ends for you, right? In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. And may you have power to understand. Guess what? God gives us the power to understand. As all God's people should. How wide and how long and how high and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Amen? God says here, you can understand. You can experience His love. You know, you've got to go after it. It's, you know, it's never ending. It's infinite. It's like a wedding ring. It has no end. That's the way God's love is. It's never ending. It's immeasurable. He is meticulously persistent, right, about you. He just keeps on loving you no matter what. It's immeasurable as far as from the east and from the west. It's so high, so wide, so deep. God's love is incredible. We just got to understand that, right? And it's everlasting. His real love is everlasting love. Jeremiah 31 verse 3. I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. Everlasting, eternal. He loves you now. He will love you into eternity. Right? Like I said, He's meticulously persistent to pursue you, to love you. He's got His eye on you. He had, even before the world was formed, before this world was formed, He saw you and He loved you. Right? You know, He's had His eye on you from the beginning. He's had His loving eye on you, and it'll always be on you right into forever, right into eternity. He never takes His eye off you. Amen? He loves you with an everlasting love. Number five, real love is inseparable love. And I love the way that Paul writes here in Romans 8:38. He said, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Jesus Christ, personified in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Nothing, absolutely nothing can separate it. Listen, once you receive His love, you just cannot be disconnected from it. He draws you. He literally draws you into this all-out, inclusive love relationship with Himself, right? He just draws you into this intimate, together relationship with Him. His love is inseparable. I'm going to give you one more. And I could probably have another 6 or 7 or 10 or 20 after this. His love is unmerited. Real love. God's love is unmerited love. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it's the gift of God." The love of God is, the grace of God is the gift of God for every one of us. And he says here, it's not by works, so that no one can boast. It's not by obeying the 613 commandments. It's not because of that. It's not of yourselves. It's not of yourselves. It can't be earned. It can only be received. It can only be received. And I say, when you see how much God loves you, when you really begin to understand how much God loves you, and when you connect to this supernatural love, you can receive. When you receive it, it's then that you can give it back and you can spread it abroad to others. But you've got to understand this love. Amen? You can love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul and all your mind, and you can love other people. Amen? It all hangs on this. And I say this, when you realize that God's love is all this, that it's unconditional, that it's unfailing, that it's infinite, that it's everlasting, that it's inseparable, that it's unmerited, when you really understand these aspects of God's love towards you, and then you can bring that, start bringing that love to other people. Back to God, back to other people. Right? So critical. So critical that we understand what God's love is towards personally. Not for everybody else. Yeah, I know God loves you and God loves you, but I don't think He loves me. No, He loves you. You need to realize the first person you need to realize that God loves is you. He loves you. Right? You need to realize that. You know, think about, people think about their worth. They think about their value. No, a lot of people look in the mirror, and if they look good, they'll take a selfie. Right? I look good today. If I don't look good, I'm not going to take a selfie. Right? See, they base their value on their looks. Right? Some people base their value on their paycheck. Some people look at their paycheck, and they base their value on how much they make and they earn. Right? Other people will grab their cell phone and look at all the phone numbers on the cell phone because, well, successful people have connections, right? No, others will look at their full, their schedule to see if it's full. Others will look at their spouse because they're this way, they're this or that, right? But I want to tell you, God loves you just because. Amen? And He sees you. He sees you and He looks at you with as being infinitely valuable, as being infinitely beautiful, because you're made in His image. Amen? You're literally made in the image of God. You're His handiwork, and He made you so carefully, meticulously, lovingly. When He looks at you, you know, He almost sees Himself through you. Amen? Anyway, we'll go there. But it's true, isn't it? God loves you because He made you that way. You are so special to Him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. And this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. What's your value? What's your value? Your value is that he sent his son, his only son, for you. That's how valuable you are. His only son. The greatest, most precious thing he could ever have done is send his son to die on a cross for you. God came to earth himself in the form of a son, and he died a death that we should have died. He lived a life we should have lived. They crucified him, they buried him, but they couldn't keep him down. 3 days later, he rose from the grave, offering eternal life to salvation for anyone who would call upon his name. God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son to die for you. Amen? That's your value. That's your value. And the next point. Everything in life starts with loving Jesus. Everything in life starts with loving Jesus. But I want to go a little bit further. And also letting him love you. Letting him love you. Your love for your wife comes from it. Your love for your family, your kids, and your friends come first from loving Jesus, right? It's like love is the highest priority ever for us in our life. And I say this, if love is not involved, it's passionless, it's purposeless, and it's pointless. If love is not involved, right? And I believe that today God wants to bring this passion back, right? And it's so important that in our relationship, we actually have a passion for Jesus. We just know him. Not the fact we're just saved. We're just kind of living this life out so when we die, we'll go to heaven. But there's a passion that burns in our hearts for him and for his purposes and his ways, right? For example, you know, like men, I want to speak to the men. You know, men, before you were married, Jake, before you were married, you'd climb Everest, right? You'd climb Everest for her, right? And you bring her flowers, and you couldn't keep your hands off her. Or maybe you're still like that today. You know, maybe, is that the way it is for us today, men? You know what? Maybe it's not quite that way. You know, maybe it's that way with God. We used to love to worship. We used to show up early. We used to be early. We used to love to serve. We used to love to read our Bible. But it's not that way anymore, right? So what do we do about it? How do we bring that passion back into our life? You know, I say this because it's somewhat of a huge dilemma. And so many Christian believers I know, they've lost their passion. They're just kind of moving along because they have to move along in their life, the Christian faith. But there's just something of this essence of burning passion for Jesus that's kind of missing. So how do we bring that passion back? Can I suggest to you how to bring it back? Start giving back to that relationship. Start giving back. Remember, I said last week, the measure of love in any relationship is the measure of giving in that relationship, right? Is when we start to give back. Now, so how do you get your passion back? Whether it's in your relationship with your spouse, but especially in your relationship with Jesus, how do you get it back? How do you get that first love back? Here's how. I'm going to give you three simple suggestions. Number one, say I love you. Say I love you. When's the last time you said to Jesus, just you and him, when is the last time you said, Jesus, I love you. Man, I love you. Jesus, I just love you. When's the last time you said that? My wife's way over in Portugal, so I can't say that to her, but I can text her. And almost every text, at the end of it, I say, I love you. I love you. Karen loves to hear it. Jesus loves to hear it too as well. Start off with just that simple act. I'll just say, I love you. I love you, Jesus. There's another thing. Next thing you could do, set the date. Set a time of prayer. Start talking to him. Set a time of devotion. You know, and set Sunday worship time. When you come to Sunday worship, set as a time when you can just pour out your heart to God in praise. And you can say to God, God, I'm here to seek you. Right? Set the time. Last one, fix your attention. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of your faith. He's the beginner of your faith, and he's the finisher of your faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Right? Fix your eyes on him. You know, gaze into Jesus. Gaze into his eyes. You know, just spend some time. Spend some time with him. Don't go away quickly. Just sit in his presence and just enjoy. Just enjoy Jesus. Have you ever done that? Just get into the presence of God. Just gaze into the, you know, if it's possible, I get this image of this holy God, or sometimes I get this, I go right back to the one of the Bible stories, maybe at the woman at the well, or Jesus walking alongside the beach or bus, and then it's almost like I'm envisioning myself sitting there in the presence and just talking to him, and I'm just looking into his image, and I'm sensing that he wants to say something back to me. And I'm feeling this love, this incredible acceptance. No matter what I've done and what I'm ashamed of, I can tell him about. And I can pour my heart out to him, and he just cleanses me and heals me. You need to spend time in the presence of Jesus. Just loving him. Just gazing into his eyes. Just spending some time here. Not leaving too quickly. Right? And just enjoying Jesus. Just enjoying his presence. And it's something we can't manufacture. But God knows where your heart is. And as you come into his presence, and you just give him that time, say, God, Jesus, this is my time with you. He's not going to not come to you. And he's not going to not want to speak to you. You just have to silence yourself and get into that place. I always get a journal. I haven't journaled for a while, but I used to do this a lot. Sometimes I was struggling to hear God's voice. I said, okay, just whatever I sense is coming into my mind and my heart, my spirit, just write it down. You know? And I just go back to that. And I realize, you know, he really was speaking to me. You know? God wants this incredible relationship with you. Right? Why does he want it? Because it all hangs. Everything hangs on this. On the first and the greatest commandment for you and me is to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. Another verse says, with all your strength. Right? The first and the greatest commandment, because it all hangs on love. Amen? Amen. It's kind of quiet, but we'll end on a quiet note. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for the challenge that you give today. But it's not just a challenge, it's an invitation to come into your presence and start giving back to you in our expression of how we feel about you, in our appreciation of what you did for us when you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, so not only that we have eternal life, which is the greatest, most precious gift, but that we can have a brand new start here, right here on earth. And we could enjoy your love. We could be filled with the Holy Spirit's love. And this love could just radiate out of us as we understand what you did for us, how much you loved us. And we experience that love. We can pass that love on to other people. So I pray, may we be these vessels. May you draw every single person here into that personal place. May we just start saying every single day, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I just thank you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for what you're going to do for me. even though it hasn't happened yet. Toward of praise. Thank you. I thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do, Lord, because you love us so much. Thank you, Father. I want to love you back. So I pray for that for every one of us, that we would get back into this most important relationship, and we focus on us, we pay attention, and fix our eyes on Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just keep your heads bowed just for a minute. I want to say a couple minutes here. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave. The most precious gift that he could ever give to you is called salvation, eternal life. And if you're here today, you've never received this most precious gift, you can receive this gift today. Have you received this gift of eternal life? Are your sins forgiven? You know? Do you want a life that's different, brand new? God can give that to you today. You know, God did it all for you when he gave you his son. I want to say, if that's you today, you say, you know, I need to give my heart to Jesus. I want a brand new start. Then this is the day to invite Christ into your heart. It's merely so simple to receive God's gift of eternal life. Just have to believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and he rose again. If you believe that, then second, receive them. Invite them into your heart. And the Bible says you'll be born again. You receive eternal life. So if you've never done that before, I'm going to invite you to do that today. Will you repeat this simple prayer? And I would like everybody to repeat this prayer out loud. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross to pay for my sins. Today I repent. I turn from my sins and I invite you into my heart to be Savior and Lord of my life forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you said that prayer for the very first time, will you just raise your hands and just wave it at me and say, Pastor, when you do that, it means see your hand. Thank you. I said that prayer. You received Christ into my heart. Greatest decision, most life-changing decision you ever make, you're receiving Christ into your heart. Is there any other hands? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for this great day. Amen. Amen.